Continue in this season after Easter, reading stories of the resurrection. This gospel text is from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 19. May God bless the reading and the hearing and the living of this word. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join with me in prayer? We showed up this morning, O God. We showed up because we want to follow your teaching. We want to join in your ministry. We want to turn our wills over to your care. So strengthen us through this word today, that we might be filled with the bread of heaven, bread for the journey. Amen. In the Gospel of John, there's a particular verb that comes up over and over again. And it's the verb that's translated to show yourself or to reveal yourself. Jesus reveals himself. He shows himself to his followers over and over throughout the gospel. And that verb shows up again and again in this story as well, where Jesus reveals himself again to the disciples after his death in this resurrection account. But it's not just Jesus who reveals himself in this story. The story is a reminder that if we look at our own lives, if we examine ourselves and our hearts, we show ourselves through our own actions. This story of Jesus asking Peter three times, "Do you love me?" is a story that's always made me a little uncomfortable. I think I feel a little bit of what Peter must have felt. Like, what an awkward situation is this, where Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" The background for this story makes it make a little bit more sense. If we remember that before Jesus died, he told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." Peter said, "No, I'm not. I'll never deny you." Jesus said, "Yeah, you're going to deny me three times." So after Jesus is arrested and before he's killed, Peter does deny Jesus three times. So the three-time kind of reversal or restoration here echoes in this story from that threefold denial. This is a story about what happens after we fail at loving. Peter has failed Jesus in denying him three times. But Peter may not be the only one who's failed at loving. So think about the way this story starts. It says that this group of disciples who have been following Jesus are back in Galilee, a long way from Jerusalem. They're back in Galilee and they're fishing. Why are they doing that? After Jesus' death and resurrection, they go back to doing what they were doing before they ever met Jesus? The story doesn't explain, so we can just speculate. But here they are. They've scattered back to their lives, what their lives were like before they even met Jesus. The Gospel of John starts out with Jesus calling the disciples from their fishing nets, saying, "Come and leave your fishing and follow me." And they do that. And then ironically, the gospel ends with this story where they're back fishing, and again, Jesus calls them to follow. So it's a story about what happens after we've failed at loving, and what Jesus does with Peter and the other disciples is he feeds them first, he feeds them breakfast, and he commands them to go out and feed his sheep or tend the sheep. So here at Church of the Open Arms, we feed people. We have a wonderful food pantry ministry. It's one of the most faithful and exciting things that we do here on a weekly basis at Church of the Open Arms. But we also gather recognizing that people do not live by bread alone, as the Bible teaches. That there's a hungry and hurting world out there, and we gather and participate in congregational life. We gather seeking to follow Jesus and to follow this commandment to respond to the deepest hungering, the deepest needs, the deepest longings in the world. Greg Bullock shared a personal experience about something that happened once on his lunch hour. Greg Bullock said that he was in Midtown Manhattan, leaning up against the wall where a fountain was right outside Radio City Music Hall, and he decided to go and get a hot dog from a vendor. Typical scene on the New York City streets. And he walked over to the vendor and he noticed that there was a guy in his mid-30s, very well-dressed, very well-groomed, leaning against the wall. Didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him. Greg got his hot dog and walked away getting ready to eat. And this guy walked over to him and said, "Feed me." And Greg looked at him, and the guy reached out and grabbed his wrist that had the hot dog and started grabbing it away from him. And Greg Bullock said he started, to kind of wrestle with the guy and try and snatch his food back. And he said, without even thinking, he said, "Go get your own food," and got his hot dog away. And he heard the vendor saying, "Don't hassle my customer. I'll give you something to eat." And he turned around, but before he could see what happened, where the guy went, the guy was gone. He disappeared into the crowd. And Greg Bullock thought, all of a sudden, he thought, "I have plenty of money in my pockets to feed 20 people a hot dog." He thought, what was that all about? He said he felt really uncomfortable with the way he had handled the situation. He went back over to where one of his friends was, and the friend said, what was that all about? What happened? And Greg Bullock said, "I don't know. I really don't know." And then he said, "I've thought about that day and that situation and replayed it over and over again in my mind, wishing that I had done something different." There's a saying that's associated with communism that says, "From each according to his ability, to each according to his or her need." But that really flies in the face of some deeply held values that we think of as American values, where we have a right to what we've earned, and people ought to work for their own living, right? The gospel teaches us to share. It teaches us to have things in common. It teaches us to provide and feed for those who are hungry. But we have these deeply held values that we've worked hard for the money, and sure, we might contribute some of it if we want to. We can give to the poor if we feel like doing that. But it's our money, and we've earned it, and we get to do what we decide to do with it. I heard a story this week on Radiolab that broke my heart. It was a story about a guy who's known as Little Houdini. I don't know if any of you heard this. The guy's an escape artist. His name in real life is Christopher Daniel Gay. And he has escaped from jail or prison more than 13 times. They keep arresting him, and he keeps ending up back in prison. So somebody was interested in his story. In fact, a folk singer made a song about him. And the radio broadcaster decided to do a story trying to understand his background and how he came to be the guy who's famous for being able to escape from jail and prison. And so he interviewed the guy and some of his family members, Christopher, and learned that when Christopher and his brothers and sisters were very small children, they lived in the South, rural South, and they were extremely poor. They were hungry all the time. In fact, his sister told a story about one time when she was a really little kid and her hunger pains were so bad at night that she could not go to sleep. And so her brother, Christopher, said, "Here, take this and chew it up really, really good and it'll help." He had taken a little page out of a notebook and given her a piece of paper to eat. And then when the kids got a little bit older, their parents separated, and Christopher and his brother stayed with the father. And then they looked back at the earlier times and thought of those as the good times, because the father was abusive, they were hungry all the time, and he and his brother, when they were about 10 and 11, made a suicide pact with each other. So the boys went out behind the barn. They had a old shotgun, and the one brother was going to shoot his brother and then shoot himself. So Christopher said he closed his eyes and he felt the shotgun against his temple, and then he heard a sound that sounded like a little whimper. And he opened his eyes and his brother said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Christopher said, well, okay, I'll do it. So he took the gun and held it to his brother's head, but he couldn't do it either. And that's when they started stealing. Stealing all kinds of things. Bikes, motorcycles, cars, trailers, tractors. Problems in our society with crime, with violence, with prisons, with hunger, all of these problems are interrelated. And the problem is not that we don't have enough resources. The problem is not that there's not abundance in the world, or even that there's not plenty of money in our society. The problem is a problem with what we love. It's a problem with not having enough love in our society that little children don't go hungry. In Oklahoma, we know that 1 out of 4 children is food insecure and has times of serious hunger. And yet we just don't seem to be able to generate the political will to change that situation. Maybe our hearts need to be broken open so that love can flow in some new ways. There's a story of some kids who were playing in a river one day, and all of a sudden they saw a small lamb struggling in the water, floating down the river, struggling, trying not to drown. And they went over and they grabbed it, and they got it out, started drying it off. And they looked up, and there was another lamb coming down the river. And they went and together grabbed it, saved it, took it out of the river. And then they looked up, and there was another lamb. And one of the kids got out of the river and started running up the road. And his friend said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to go find the break in the fence and figure out where all these lambs are falling in and fix the fence. So it's important for us to do ministries like our food pantry ministry. But it's not enough to just respond to the suffering that comes across our path. We have to get involved in all kinds of ways to transform the systemic problems that lead to so many people in hunger and in poverty, as well as other kinds of heartbreaking life situations. Following Jesus means tending the sheep, the people of God, and all of God's creation, because we failed at loving in so many, many different ways. Eugene Lobach tells a story about his family watching a movie together on TV. They were watching an old Tom Sawyer movie, and they had just gotten to the point where everybody thought Tom Sawyer was dead because he had disappeared, but Tom snuck back in to Aunt Polly's house because Aunt Polly was so worried about him and left a little sign, a token, that he had been there so that she would know he was still alive. And here's Tom, who has failed at loving Aunt Polly in so many ways, and Aunt Polly, who feels that she's failed Tom in so many different ways. And before Tom leaves, he decides just on impulse to go in and look at Aunt Polly, this old woman, sleeping in her bed. And he very tenderly leans over and kisses her on the cheek before he leaves the house. And Eugene Lobach said at that point, everyone in his family was all choked up and they were in tears. And his 6-year-old son said, oh, this is so sad. He loves her. And she doesn't even know it. When people examine our lives, do they see evidence? Do our lives reveal evidence that we love God, that we are those who love Jesus. Notice what Jesus says to Peter here. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. He doesn't say, do you love me? Well, then make sure everybody believes that I was born of a virgin and healed people, and make sure everybody knows that I was raised from the dead. He doesn't say, make sure that everybody starts worshiping in just the right way, believing just the right things about God. No. He says, continue my ministry. Continue the work I've been doing in the world. And that's consistent with what he teaches over and over again in the Gospel of John. Those who love God are the ones who do God's will. Those who love me are the ones who keep my commandments. If you love me, follow me. Continue the work. In closing, I'd like to go back to an earlier part of this scripture passage, because it's a little bit funny to put together this story of this miraculous catch of fish that we read in the beginning of the story with this conversation about, do you love me? But I think there's some important learning for us there. Maybe the story about the abundant catch of fish points to something important about what it means to follow Jesus. As I think about that story, I try and imagine myself being there. Okay, we've been fishing all night. We're not just doing this for recreation. It's not just a little hobby that we do after our day jobs where we get paid. This is a matter of whether or not we get to eat and our families get to eat. So we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything, the text says. And we look up and there's a guy on the shore and he says, you haven't caught anything, have you? No, they don't recognize that it's Jesus. And then he says, well, throw your net in on the other side of the boat. Now I think about my own reaction to that. We've been fishing all night. I think the first thing I'd think is, yeah, sure, dude, whatever. Like, that's really a good idea. But the willingness to try something new, or the willingness to try something that you've already tried a whole bunch of times before, the openness to take some direction, to learn, the openness to hear. Maybe that is necessary for us to see the resurrection. Will you join with me in a moment of silence?